around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's our joy to be with you to share the unsearchable riches of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. I pray that your faith is growing, that your faith and your confidence in Christ is not waning, but rather growing, and that your determination is very enduring regarding the times that we are presently living in. We are living in some of the greatest prophetic and biblical times that's ever been known to mankind. God has afforded you, God has afforded me, the opportunity to be alive at this present time and to minister the Word of God. And I believe we're going to see a great deluge, a great freshet and flood of God's Spirit. This is a parenthetical time. This time will not last too awfully long. I believe that God has given the church a reprieve. I believe God has heard the cries and the prayers of the righteous, and is going to give us an opportunity to see a revival if we continue to be humble, contrite, and stay in a state and mode of national repentance. I know the world will not, unless the Spirit of God moves upon them, but he always said, people fail to realize this, and I know people sometimes don't still embrace this verse, but I do. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayers that shall be made in this place. If my people, which are called by my name, if the church, the people who say they're Christians, they're my people, will humble themselves and pray, God said, I'll move. You see, the world, the new world order is not going to pray and call out to God. This is a movement taking a place even in Europe. Europe, the people are tired of the demagoguery. They're tired of the elitist. This is a pivotal point in our lives, and God wants us to spend this time wisely and prudently and pragmatically regarding the things of the kingdom. Esther, Mordecai told her, for a time such as this, if you don't obey God and speak to the king, you too will die because you are a Jew. But for a time such as this, Mordecai, her uncle said, you have been raised up. You need to embrace this opportunity. And she did, and God moved. I want to play a song today for those of you who may be beleaguered, bewildered, you feel abandoned, you feel forsaken, you feel like all hope is gone. Let me just share a few of the lyrics. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voices telling the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there is a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he is a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and if you're trying to feel the same old hold inside, There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need
true, my friend, we've all found ourselves worn out, oftentimes fighting the same old fight. But God is a chain breaker to those who believe and trust in Him with all of their heart. I want to go today to 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He was speaking about Goliath. "Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And David said unto And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Did God ever go with the psalmist David. I want to use today for a subject how God overrules circumstances. How God overrules circumstances. Needless to say, the problem was great. Goliath had intimidated profusely the army of Israel. Every man was filled with fear. The fear of man had seized the heart of the entire Israeli army, and they were all afraid. Goliath challenged them. Send out a man that can wage war with me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants, Goliath said. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. You know, Satan is brass, arrogant, very self-centered and self-serving through those whom he works through. Needless to say, Satan is a master at intimidation. I've often heard people say they are intimidated. With all respect, I don't understand intimidation. Maybe it was because the way I was raised. And early on, I had to fight for myself and my livelihood, coming from a broken home, a broken family, and I became a survivalist of sorts. But I can't say I've ever truly been intimidated by anything in particular. Now, that's not to say I'm some great personage. It's just the Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've even had people, other ministers, who said to me, "You intimidate me." It's never my heart to intimidate anyone. Though I don't understand that in my own life, I understand it when it comes against people. Satan has the ability to create a gigantic situation to intimidate every one of us. You see, some, like the psalmist David, was born a warrior. He was but a lad. He was not afraid of this giant. It's believed this giant, in those days, that they were about 10 to 12, even 13 feet tall. 13 feet is what you witness when you stand behind a tractor trailer rig. The top of that trailer is 13 feet. It's believed he weighed somewhere between 700 and 900 pounds. That's a giant of a man. Some believe his armor could have weighed 2 to 250 pounds. And that the head of his spear could have weighed 25 to 30 pounds. Without a doubt, that would be intimidating because it was intimidating everyone that was there. They were filled with fear. You see, when Satan can put a spirit of fear in your life, you are utterly and totally dominated, intimidated with anxiety. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man? Have you recognized the gigantic man that stands and intimidates us day after day after day? He was a beast of a man, intimidating everyone. The psalmist David goes down. And of course, as always, the men, the women, the people of God are always castigated. Eliab was the eldest brother to the psalmist David. And when he spake, he was angry with David. Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You've just come down here to be a spectator. You've just come down here to observe the intimidating factor that this giant represents to the nation of Israel. And all of us are utterly and literally afraid of this man. And David made a very profound statement here in 1 Samuel 17:29. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a legitimate reason for me coming down here and witnessing this? You see, not only was the anointing of God upon David, but something rose up within the psalmist. Something rose up within this lad. Something that's called the Spirit of the Living God. Saul was the king. But David was the lad. David had the faith. David possessed the courage. David was endued with the strength of Jehovah Elohim. He was not afraid to encounter this circumstance and situation that was overwhelming the hearts of everyone around him. Everyone was absolutely afraid. The fear, the phobos, the phobia took hold of their minds and their hearts and their spirits, and they were all utterly paralyzed with fear. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. They became ignorant of the devil's devices, but David could see through the device. You see, God had raised up David. That's why he could not be intimidated. How did God raise up David? He raised him up and allowed him to have an encounter with a lion and with a bear. Now here's a young lad, 12, 13, 14 years old. He says, wait, let me tell you what's happened to me. I caught the lion. I caught the bear by his beard, and I smote him and I slew him. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he shall be as one of them. Let me tell you something about people of God. They have faith. They have faith. Now, I know that our faith can wane and waft and drift away. And we can lose our faith, our hope, our trust in the living God. But though you may lose your faith, and your faith may struggle, and your faith may grapple, God remains faithful. Paul the Apostle in 2 Timothy 2:12 said, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You see, there are times that your faith may waver. There are times your faith may wane. There are times that your faith may utterly fail you. But in spite of your lack of faith, in spite of your faith failing, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself, neither his faithfulness. I've quoted this passage many times, but let me quote it again. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now that is a direct quote from the psalmist. And in Paul the Apostle, he comes back and he quotes that same passage. Psalms 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Confident in what? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Paul said, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Every Israelite was afraid of what this man, Goliath, this giant Philistine, would do to them. And the battle plea, the war cry was very replete. The war cry was very clear. If your warrior is able to fight with me and to kill me, we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. This was the gauntlet dropped and let down and said, this is the way it is. You win, we serve you. If I win, you serve us. You see, Jesus said in very plainly in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. I love that. But I am come. That tells me there's something there to help us. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Goliath came but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, wait a minute. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus went on in verse 11, John 10, 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What was David? David was a shepherd. He was a type of Christ in that he was willing to give his life for the sheep, Israel, in this battle with this Philistine. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is a master at instilling fear and intimidation in everyone's life. You see, every one of us possesses our God-given nature. Some people are naturally followers, some are naturally leaders. Some are naturally weak, and some are naturally strong. God makes that choice. I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to let the devil have dominion, authority, and lordship over my life. And you should feel the same way every day. You should be encouraged every day that you arise from your sleep. Why? Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? David said in Psalms 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What day? This day. Today. The day that you're hearing this program today, Monday. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some Jewish scholars say Jesus quoted that verse as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? He was going to offer his life. In the book of Luke, according to Luke's gospel, at the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples, he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You'll find that in Luke 22:15. With desire, the Greek says, I have heartily desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. In other words, with desire, he desired this particular Passover because he was going to ultimately fulfill every Passover feast that had ever been kept since Exodus chapter 12. Some 2,000 years. Maybe it's more like 1,500. 1,500 years. Jesus was honoring every time everyone celebrated Passover with desire. I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is the fulfillment of all these other Passover feasts. 1,500 years of the shedding of blood. And with desire, I have desired this Passover. David was not intimidated. You cannot be intimidated with your circumstances. Satan watches your reactions to his fiery darts. Listen to me closely. Satan watches your response. He watches how you react when he shoots those fiery darts from hell against you. If you become negative, depressed, discouraged, beleaguered, bewildered, he sees it's working. And he only seeks to ratchet it up even more. David walked down to this giant. He wasn't afraid. He went into this valley. You'll find that in this chapter, 1 Samuel 17:3. Goliath was the Philistines' champion. He was the champion of their camp. And oh, he was a beast. He intimidated them. You see, the Bible describes and tells us about his armament. I won't go through the litany But he had on a helmet of brass, a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's why I said some people say between 250, maybe 300 pounds of armor was on this beast. Now let's look at the psalmist David. What did he have? Now Saul offered his armor. See? That's a type of the flesh. Saul gave him or said, you can have this flesh. You can have my carnage. You can have my fleshly tools. David said, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. The Bible says that Saul armed David with his armor. He also put on a helmet of brass, and he armed him with a coat of mail as well. It wouldn't work. Why? 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. You've got to understand, Satan always works and appeals through the flesh. I've told you that time and time and time again. Never spirit, always flesh. Always flesh. Why? Because if Satan can get you to operate in the flesh, you're already defeated because your flesh is weak, your flesh is anemic, your flesh is pathetic. Mine is too. This is not an indictment against you, the listener, today. Every one of us, our flesh is pathetic. Pathetic. That's almost an ugly word when something is pathetic. David's tools were very simple. A staff, 5 stones, a bag for the stones, and a sling. He looked profusely defenseless. Here in 1 Samuel 17:40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Why did he take 5 smooth stones? Goliath had 4 other brothers, by the way. David didn't need 5 shots to take out this giant. He didn't need but 1. Why? When God is for you, you don't need anything. You and God make a majority. You and God are the lordship and power and authority over everything. Not in yourself, but in Him. He has the lordship. You just serve Him, and you serve under His lordship. Now, the tables suddenly turn. When the Philistine, the giant, Goliath, saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and of a fair complexion. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog? You come to me with staves? And of course, the Philistine cursed David by his own false gods. He looked at this ruddy little boy who looked absolutely, utterly, simply defenseless. He couldn't win. He couldn't beat his way out of a wet paper bag. That's how he looked. But just like with Samuel, God told Samuel, Samuel, you keep looking on the outside. You keep looking on the outside. I'm looking at the heart. David's heart was far larger than Goliath's. It's not how big the dog is, they say. It's how big the fight is in the dog. Goliath said, am I a dog? You come to me with nothing? A staff? A shepherd's staff? He probably didn't know David had five stones in his bag and his little old sling. All he probably saw was the staff. The reason I say that is because that's what he said to David. Thou come to me with staves, sticks, a staff, that's it. You don't even have on a helmet of brass, son. You don't have an armor of mail upon you. You come down here, and I'm just going to speculate, David may have been 5'5", 5'6", 120, 25 pounds. Ruddy complexion. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Be careful who you talk to like that. They just might be a child of God. You might be talking to a child of Jehovah. Then said David to the Philistine, oh, you've come to me with the sword. You've come to me with a spear. You've come to me with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see, it's not about the battle, neither the intensity of the battle, or the size of the battle. It's how you come to the battle. David virtually came with nothing in the natural, but he had everything in the supernatural. He came before Goliath with virtually nothing. All Goliath could see was the staff in his hand. That little leather pouch that had the five stones in it were probably tucked underneath his little leather belt around his waist. And no doubt the sling was tucked underneath that belt. David said, you come to me with a sword. You come with the spear. You've come with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. There's a difference how you come to the battle. I said there's a difference in how you come to the battle. You can come in your flesh. You can come in your works. You can come in your deeds and you'll be defeated. But if you come in the name of the Lord, you're going to walk away the victor and not the victim. David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David's kind of repeating the Philistine giant. For he said, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beast of the field. David said, I will smite thee. I will take thine head from thee. I will give your carcass unto the fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, that all the earth, the whole world is going to know there is a God in Israel. And all of this assembly, all of your soldiers over there on that side of the valley, and all of Israel on this side of the valley, they're going to know one thing. We're all going to know. The Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You know what is so great about the psalmist? He was inclusive. He included Israel in his victory. It wasn't a one-man band. He will give you into our hands. Not my hand, but our hand. Well, in other words, I come down here in representation of the nation of Israel and of the Lord God of Abraham. I love this next verse. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. He wasn't intimidated, folks. He wasn't afraid, folks. He wasn't scared. He ran toward the army. One man. No, let me rephrase. One child, one lad, and God. What did David do? The Bible said the psalmist David put his hand in his little bag and took out a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. His forehead. Virtually the only place where there was no armor on the Philistine. Now this is a type and a shadow of the stone that the builders rejected, Jesus Christ. This is Christ bruising the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When David began to sling the sling, and then he slung it, and it left the little pouch. It had the anointing of the Holy Ghost on it. It smote the Philistine in his forehead. The Bible said the stone sunk into his forehead. It went into his forehead. Now, most theologians, and I agree, I don't believe the stone killed him. I believe it literally knocked him out. It knocked him out. And he fell upon the face, upon his face, to the earth. He fell straight forward. It totally, utterly knocked the man out. And the Bible says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. So David ran and took and stood upon the Philistine. Now, this man is a giant. He stands on the Philistine. And he drew the Philistine's sword from his sheath. And he cut off Goliath's head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The battle is the Lord's. The Philistines feared now. The spirit of fear, the spirit of intimidation has now been wholly reversed and fallen upon the enemies of Israel. God has the ability to divinely take your enemies and blow them like chaff in the wind if you believe. Psalm 68:1 says, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Every time God arises, the enemies, the hordes, the hounds of hell, they flee. Now, the enemies, the Philistines, they begin to flee. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Oh, now they're going to run after them. But before, they're hiding behind the rocks and the boulders. They are absolutely afraid. But when somebody comes into camp with the Holy Ghost, people's attitudes are suddenly changed. And they begin to wound the Philistines. The Philistines fled. They pursued them, and they began to beat them down, and they obviously let them run on off. And then the children of Israel returned from chastening the Philistines, and they spoiled or they robbed their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Can you imagine this lad walking back with this huge monstrosity of a head of a human being? Well, I should say human being. It was a part fallen angel and part human. This is where the giants came from when the daughters of men slept with the sons of God, Genesis 6 and 4. Steve Quayle does great work on giants, the Nephilim, the Raphim. I address it some in my book that I did on Jude, Salvation, Angels, Giants, and Judgment. This was a hybrid creature, part human, part angel. Fallen angels, the fallen sons of God. David, he took the head of the Philistine and he brought it to Jerusalem. Saul encounters Abner. He's the captain of the army. And he said, "Whose son is this?" Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I don't know. I cannot tell you who this young man's father is." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the strapling is." He's just a little boy. Strapling, stripling, however you want to pronounce it. This is just a little kid with a ruddy complexion. That's just done one of the greatest things that's ever been done, ever witnessed by mortal man. The Hebrew word is elm, E-L-E-M. We get elementary, rudimentary. But it's a lad, a young man. Somewhere in the age of puberty, just to be very plain with you. The Bible said as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Here's this strapling, stripling, however you want to pronounce it. Abner brings him to Saul the king, and he's got this big, huge head in his hand. David is carrying the trophy. The trophy. It's in his hand. And Saul said unto David, "Whose son art thou, young man?" David said, I'm the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I won't get into the whole lineage of David, but I will share this much. You remember Rahab the harlot? I believe she'd be David's great-great-great-grandma because she married a man named Salmon, and they produced a man named Boaz, and then Boaz and Ruth had Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. I'd have to write that down on a piece of paper to look back, but it's great, great, great grandma. God, even back then, had predetermined this man, this child, this stripling, this little boy, David. I know it's hard for us sometimes to understand the depth and the breadth of God. God's wisdom is so far reaching. We just can't grasp it. We just can't fathom it. We just can't get our minds around it. But Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You mean God chose me before the foundation of the world? That's what Paul said. That's why I said at the beginning of this program, God has already ordained some warriors. That's your nature. You're a warrior. Some are servants. I'd say I'm a blend of both. I serve the people of God, yet I war in behalf of the people of God when I preach the word of the Lord, when I wield the sword of the word of the Lord. But I also serve in the fact I minister. But you're wired like you're wired because God has ordained you to be what you are. And there's some of you out there, you too, you're never intimidated by anything. You are a warrior. And so you fight constantly. You're not intimidated by the elements. You're not intimidated by your surroundings. You're not intimidated by the voice of the enemy. And so you're perpetually sought after by the enemy because you are an obstacle to the enemy's victories. You are a living measure of opposition against Satan and his minions. Now, I don't want to sound arrogant or pump you up and you become arrogant, but God has chosen many of you to war. And you don't walk in fear. You don't walk in trepidation. You don't walk in anxiety. You do not walk in intimidation. You just walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And you're constantly encountering opposition. Satan knows who's got the touch. Oh, yes, he does. Don't you think the devil didn't already know when David went down in the valley to fight Goliath, he'd already lost. He'd already lost. This battle was already conceded in the mind of God. It was already done. Because God knew before the foundation of the world that he would anoint the psalmist David, and David would be this great victor. And yes, he also knew David would fail him. But it did not change the love of God and God's heart toward David and David's heart toward God, because he was declared to be a man after God's heart, yet he failed God. Isaiah 46 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. God's counsel had already been foreordained. We use the word prognosis. What is my prognosis? What is my futuristic outcome? It's already settled. It's already done. The victories are already written in the scrolls in heaven, as well as the defeats. That's why we never quit. That's why we always remain faithful in the battle. 2 Chronicles 20:17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. David did not need Saul's armor. David had Jehovah. Saul didn't. David was a young man, but David believed God. You see, that's the great thing about victories. Anytime you find yourself in a place of fear, anxiety, discouragement, trepidation, you look back and you see how God has already once delivered you, or several times or multiple times. He will do it again. That's why I love Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David was looking back. He was reflecting over his life. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. You're of the seed of Abraham, folks. You don't have to beg. You just have to believe. David believe. God took the smallest, and what did he do? He conquered the biggest. I said, God took the smallest, and he conquered the biggest. The old cliche is true. Little is much when God is in it. And God was in the midst of the psalmist as he slung the sling. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was upon that sling, that stone. And as David well said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord God of Abraham watch over you. May he bless you and keep you. And may his light daily shine upon your path. And may your faith grow and excel in the coming days. Speak to your problems. Speak to your problems the word of the Lord. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.